B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Startled fisherman who found a woman floating in the middle of the sea and barely able to speak from the cold was amazed to discover that she had been missing for 2 years.
What? No. So she's been floating out there for 2 years?
No, no, she was missing for 2 years. She wasn't floating for 2 years. But it does seem that way at the beginning of the story. Video shows the amazing moment that Angelica Gayton had been found floating 2 kilometers off a beach 2 years after her family had lost contact with her without a clue as to her whereabouts. She was so weakened from the cold that she could barely reply when spoken to, with the fisherman, Rolando Bisbal, calling to the woman first in Spanish and then in English, apparently trying to make sure that she understood him.
She kept repeating 3 words, 3-hour tour.
Rolando is heard yelling at the woman, who is seen laying back in a rubber ring with her eyes closed. The video shows the moment that Rolando and his friend Gustavo approach the floating woman, who is almost completely unresponsive.
Hey, Rolando!
Dragged to the boat. Now, Rolando! they had spotted with what they thought was a log before Angelica raised her hands.
Hey, now, Yolando!
And then they tried to have a conversation with her and give her water, but she began to cry and remained in that state as the footage comes to an end.
That's amazing.
She finally uttered her first words after being rescued, saying, "I was born again. God did not want me to die." When she was brought ashore, locals tended to her before she was taken to the hospital. She was said to have lost contact with her family 2 years ago, and they had no idea where she was until she was found floating off the coast of the town of Puerto in Colombia.
How did Lost end?
There were signs of hypothermia. What she had been doing in the previous 2 years and how she ended up in the sea is being investigated by police. Angelica later said she had suffered 20 years of violence at the hands of her partner. She fled after her partner had tried to kill her.
That's crazy.
She claimed, yeah, but...
We don't know.
But hang on a second.
All right.
According to reports, the woman was floating in the water for about 8 hours. Now, they tracked down the woman's daughter, who said she had not known about her mom's whereabouts for the past 2 years. She claimed suggestions that her mother had been suicidal over a broken relationship or because of an attack by a former lover were false reports. Currently, they are raising money to transport the mother to the capital of Bogota, where they live. So I don't know. Who knows what's going on exactly? So maybe we can get a follow-up in the near future. A criminal who hijacked and diverted a helicopter in midair in an attempt to break his wife out of a Belgian prison has been arrested after detectives found that he used his own name to book the flight. Mike Galen. Mike Galen threatened the helicopter's pilot using a replica handgun and sought to spring Christelle Appelt from Birkendal Women's Prison, where she was being held on suspicion of murdering an ex-boyfriend. The helicopter circled the prison several times, but Gillen's plan was foiled as the pilot was unable to land within the courtyard. Now, while the helicopter flew over the prison, the inmates cheered and waved, but Gillen became nauseous and had to put his head out of the helicopter 5 times to throw up.
So he gets air sickness and he uses his real name.
Yeah, the pilot was then instructed to fly to Helsinki, a town south of the Belgian capital, where a getaway car was waiting in the parking lot.
I don't feel so good.
Ghislaine was later found with his 50-year-old adopted father. The 2 men and 2 further suspects were arrested within 24 hours of the failed prison break after detectives found Ghislaine had used his own name when booking the helicopter. Actually, I know a guy who was hijacked.
You mentioned
this. Yeah, he was a helicopter pilot in St. Louis. Alan Barklage was his name. He was well-known. He was a Vietnam vet. This guy tried to hijack the helicopter to do a prison rescue. Alan wrestled the gun away from him, shot him, and killed him in his own helicopter.
Oh, that's
he
badass.
He showed me pictures of it, all the blood inside the helicopter. Whoa. It was pretty wild, yeah. All right, this is in the UK. A photographer was left all shook up after he captured the moment of the face of Elvis as it appeared in a giant wave as 65 miles per hour winds hammered the East Coast. Jordan Crosby was taking pictures of the surf crashing against the Siam Lighthouse in County Durham at sunrise on Friday.
Jordan, make sure you capture my image.
He spent half an hour capturing the shots from the harbor with his Nikon D5 camera as the waves towered over the 30-foot-tall lighthouse. And Jordan said it was pretty wild out there, so I thought I would make for some dramatic pictures. The forecast was for 40-mile-an-hour winds. The waves were meant to be 50 to 60 feet. And after 30 minutes, I headed home to see what the pictures were like. And when I put them up online, somebody said, you can see Elvis's face.
Oh, my God.
In one of
it's
the waves.
It's clear as day, Nick.
I mean, I see Groot. I don't see Elvis's face in this picture.
There's a side-by-side comparison if you want to find that. I said, once you see it, you can't miss it. Sure enough, there he was emerging from the sea. You can really see his quiff well.
I don't have a queef, man.
No, quiff. You can see his quiff really well.
I'm like the Kraken, man.
And then his nose and his face. It's amazing, really, they said.
Yeah, it's amazing, man.
Everybody loves Elvis, so to capture an image of the king was really special, and we love his quiff. So, yeah. See what you will in that. Am I wrapping up?
No, you can do one more.
All right, one more.
Do one more, man. The king wants it.
A Utah man allegedly stole a truck. He said that he needed to rendezvous with aliens, but felt bad for stealing it, so he returned it to the 7-Eleven.
Well, he just left the aliens waiting?
Bryce Gerald Dixon is accused
of... Where the hell is he?
Theft of a vehicle. Three attempts...
God damn it.
...to escape from official custody after he returned a red pickup truck that he later told police that he needed so he could get to the Coliseum to get on a flight... with alien diplomats.
We're leaving in two contacts.
how long?
That's how
two contacts.
That's all you're waiting. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we should hurry. That's soon.
Yeah, that's quick.
Okay.
Dixon intended to drive the truck all the way to the Coliseum, but felt bad for stealing it, so he returned it to the 7-Eleven he took it from to give it back. The truck had been reported stolen when the owner, who left his truck unlocked with the keys inside while he stopped in the store...
Where the hell is Dixon?
...called 911. And when an officer arrived at the convenience store, he was met by the truck's owner, who said the man suspected of taking it returned it and was running from the location. The officer used his radio, and another officer took the suspect into custody. Suspect was taken to a hospital for an injury sustained when the truck owner allegedly punched him in the face. Dixon tried to slip past officers three times.
You got to understand, he's meeting aliens.
Allegedly apologized to police and told them that aliens needed him to get to the Coliseum. Now, if that means in Rome, I'm not really sure.
Or the one in Thor Ragnarok.
Where he was headed to.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A post, on a tweet, actually, that was posted that simply said, "Sir..." in front of a picture of a row house with a sign in front of it. So that's the tweet. The actual tweet said, "Sir," but the picture had a sign in front of a house, and the sign said, "This is not a Buffalo Wild Wings." Okay. It's just in front of a row home.
Right.
So apparently the person who lives at this address had posted the sign, ended up responding to the tweet, and he added some clarity to the sign and said, "I have the same address as a Buffalo Wild Wings." Except I'm southwest and they are southeast. So,
okay.
We get a minimum 10 doorbell rings a night.
Oh, my gosh.
From delivery drivers that think they're picking up the
for
order.
For like Uber Eats and stuff like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, oh, to come boy. By and get it. And he said, even though the fact that my house is clearly not a Buffalo Wild Wings,
oh, man.
People come in regularly, so much so that I've had to put a sign in front that said, "This is not a Buffalo Wild Wings."
That's funny.
Not as funny as that, but there's a similar address to mine. It's the same number, same street name, but it's like lane and road. And
yes.
So I'll get a lot of, when I have like service done on, you know, my heating, air conditioning, things like that. They're like, "We're here. We've been knocking. No one's there." I'm like, "I'm home."
Right.
"Are you sure you're not at the townhouses?" And they're like, "Oh, okay, we'll be right over."
Yep, yep. It happens. It happens. A man in France lost his job teaching kindergarten after a parent complained that his tattoos and body modifications scared their child. And I was like, "Oh, come on." But then again, I read about what he has. 35-year-old Sylvain Helene's body, face, and tongue are covered in tattoos, and the whites of his eyes have been surgically
Ew.
Turned black.
He looks frightening.
Yeah, so he's going for a very distinct look here. And although he's no longer allowed to teach children under the age of 5 at the Dr. Morer Elementary School, he is able to work his job working with aged 6 and older students. He's gone for the full on... Well, I look like that Enigma guy that comes by here
Absolutely.
With the sideshow from time to time. So he lost his job, but he still can teach in other regard. A 59-year-old Florida man was arrested for battering his girlfriend with a slice of pizza.
No!
Police responded to a call about a disturbance Wednesday and were met by the 51-year-old victim who claimed that Sean Metcalf smacked her in the face with a piece of pizza.
Sicilian?
Didn't say. The woman told authorities. I mean, the Detroit pizza's all the rage right now, so maybe it was that. The woman told, and that'd be kind of spongy. That actually, like, as long as it's not hot.
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
No, that's ignorant.
The woman told authorities she was taking items to the trash, including a pizza box she mistakenly thought was empty. When Metcalf became angry and started yelling at her, she tossed the box back and at him, causing the pizza to fall out. Metcalf reportedly picked up one of the slices and began hitting her in the face and chest with the pizza. According to the probability cause affidavit, Metcalf admitted to losing his cool, but to not any physical violence. However, police reported that the woman was covered in grease, red sauce, and toppings. Metcalf was arrested for domestic battery, a misdemeanor. A mugger in a ninja costume got a much-needed lesson in manners Monday from a Manhattan mother who happens to be as good at kickboxing as she is as teaching etiquette. Micah Meyer had proved to be no pushover when she was attacked from behind by a robber who tried to make off with her purse while she was walking with her 3-year-old daughter. Meyer screamed and fought the ninja off long enough for 2 construction workers and a doorman to come to her rescue. The do-gooders chased down the costume crook, and they held him until police arrived. She said, "I think he was shocked that I fought back. I think I was more aggressive than he had expected, but I train for this stuff. I leave my manners classes and I go to kickbox." She said she still suffered some bruises on her back and arms after she fell, still kicking. She also tore a thumbnail. She said there was a little tug of war over the bag for maybe a second or two, and then he started running. And once I think he saw the attention coming, he got out of there. Doorman grabbed him. Meyer said that she went into mama bear mode after the mugger in a black ninja costume with a red cloth around his forehead.
Come on.
Interrupted a pleasant walk she was having. She said it felt like it came out of nowhere. He came to my right side where my bag was, but it was looped around my shoulder. He didn't say anything. I still held my bag in my possession, and I kicked him. I just started kicking and kicking. The self-defense courses I've taken took over. So she managed to fight him off.
Excellent.
Which is wonderful. All right, we'll do one more story. Let's go with this. For the first time, the province of Nova Scotia is proposing to poison an entire lake to kill off an invasive species.
Ooh.
It's a last resort to stop the spread of smallmouth bass from a headwater lake that flows into the St. Mary's River system, which is home to trout and surviving Atlantic salmon population.
So they're going to reset the whole thing.
I guess. My dad would have a heart attack, man. He loves smallmouth bass fishing. You should just send him over there.
Yeah.
That's the problem. According to the resource management at the fisheries, he said, "We wanted to eradicate the system from this lake to ensure the integrity of the St. Mary's River watershed is left intact." So since the illegally introduced bass were first detected in 2019, biologists have removed hundreds from the lake. The fish were netted, angled, stunned with current from an electrofishing boat, even starved of oxygen when a pump lowered water levels last fall ahead of the winter freeze. Yet still, they managed to survive each time.
So we assume that when you bomb the lake with that poison, you're going to kill everything in that lake, right?
Well, they're drastic. That means pumping around 35 liters of the pesticide retinon into the shallow lake. In addition to illegally introduced smallmouth bass, it also contains native yellow perch, brown bullhead catfish, shiners, and minnows. The pesticide is taken up through the gills on targeted fish. They said for the most part, the other organisms aren't affected. The concentrations of retinon will be used in this lake are very, very small. Yeah, it's going to kill all the fish.
Yeah.
But they got plenty of others in the general area, and they can restock it. But I'd never heard of poisoning an entire lake to get rid of one particular species, but they don't want it to spread across the, you know,
the
region and country, possibly. All right, and that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.